Jen here, along with Barry, and we are doing Depheads and Hiddlestoners.
Yep, you forgot someone. We're also here with Captain Sparrow, who's in her usual perch. So, that's the cat.
Yes, and she's actually not behaving like a rabid crack monkey.
No, she's been good lately.
Last week she was not. Remember, I chased her down.
Yeah, well, but I said lately.
Well, within the last 10 minutes, yeah, she's been great. All right, so this week is a Hiddleston week.
Yes, so we're going out on the high seas, seeking out some salty seamen.
Wait. How many people
have
said, we need Tom in a pirate movie?
At least three.
I know a whole bunch more.
Okay, I'm blaming me,
but
you.
Yes,
there's got to be a third person.
After seeing some of the outfits that he's worn in Hollow Crown, yes, we want a Hiddleston pirate movie. Mm. But this is as close as we could get it thus far. We are working on today Pirate Fairy, Disney's Pirate Fairy.
Yes.
And this is an animated Disney film. It is a full length. It was not released in the theaters here in the States. It was released straight to DVD. Came out in 2014.
It's part of the big Tinkerbell
series.
It's part
of the fairy series, yes.
Yeah.
And aside from Hiddleston playing Captain James Hook, a very young Captain James Hook.
And I just got to say, it's almost too on the nose. Because the man, his last name is Hook, right? In the movie, he has both hands.
That's because he hasn't lost his hand yet.
But when he does lose his hand, and his last name is already Hook, like I said, it's like you're cursing this whole family.
I don't know. And he might have, you know, yeah. I don't know.
Here's my son, one-legged Sam, and he has two legs. And you just know, eventually.
Maybe he just, instead of just capping it, he put the hook on it because it was appropriate for his name.
Okay.
You have Christina Hendricks.
Yeah.
Plays Zarina.
She's very busty.
And she is extremely redheaded, so.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, a couple of names you may not have heard in a while now. Mm. Raven Simone.
Raven does a lot of stuff with Disney.
She voices Iridesa, which is another one of the fairies in this particular movie. And Iridesa. Then you have Lucy Liu.
Yes.
Also voices one of the fairies. Several other actors and actresses are, let's see, let me pull up some names here for you.
I always like Lucy Liu.
Lucy Liu is amazing. Yeah. Carlos Ponce.
I don't know him.
I recognize the face, which is why I said it.
Okay.
Jeff Bennett.
Don't recognize his
face.
Okay.
Let's see. Jesse McCartney.
Isn't he a singer?
Yes.
Okay.
Rob Paulsen.
Sounds familiar.
She's
turning her screen towards me.
Let's see. Rob Paulsen.
Okay. He looks familiar.
I figured he would. I could not tell you what he's been in, but I could click on it. I'm just not gonna.
Yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, there's several known people that are voicing between the fairies and the pirates.
Yeah, I mean it's a pretty big cast for something, you know, generally straight to streaming or straight to DVD videos, you don't think of them as being very high quality.
But again, this is Disney.
Yeah.
And Disney, you know, has become one of the leads, one of the premieres in making their straight to DVDs just as good, if not better, than their theatrical releases.
Well,
so.
I don't know about just as good, but yeah.
Well, the animated, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. The animated, especially the fairy series, I've seen them all.
I've seen a number of them. My son, when he was a little younger, I guess it was about 8 years ago when these movies were out.
Like I said, this came out in 2014. So.
Yeah. And you know, I think I probably encouraged him to watch them more than he was, like, excited about watching them. But I enjoyed them. I've always liked Tinkerbell. Always had a thing for Tinkerbell. little thin waist, kind of wide hips. I liked it.
Of course, Tinker Bell was always hot.
But I also like all the other fairies, actually. The one with the southern accent always bugs me because it's such a southern accent. But
I always thought she should have been voiced by Reba.
Yeah.
No, that Reba would have been perfect for that.
But yeah, I like the my favorite one is the one that's got kind of like the multicolored hair. She's a brunette, but she's got like, you know, purple in it and all of that. Maybe it's iridescent. That sounds
like that. That sounds like Zarina.
No.
Although
she looked cool.
Oh yeah. She looks badass as a pirate. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, I was double checking my facts just to be sure. We did say this is a very, very young James Hook. In Disney canon, Peter Pan, You could consider this movie a prequel to Peter Pan. Because this is set way before. This is before Peter ever comes to Neverland. It's before Tinker ever meets Peter.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's way before. And what's funny is this movie actually shows you a lot if you're paying attention.
I just want to go back and say my favorite one is actually Silver Mist.
It is Silver Mist, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was silver, not...
No, it's dark.
Okay.
It's kind of like a bluish black.
Okay, that's why, all right.
She's East Asian.
Okay. But yeah, so this movie definitely came out way before Peter Pan. And like I said, they throw in little cookies all the way through the movie.
Little Easter eggs.
Okay, Easter eggs.
Yeah.
if you're paying attention.
Right.
And you didn't know the answer to this, so for future trivia's sake, the name of the crocodile that hates Hook, the one that ate his hand, the one that swallowed the clock, and the one that continues to terrorize Hook throughout the Peter Pan movie, his name is actually TikTok.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I didn't know that.
You see him hatching out of his shell in this particular movie.
Yeah. So he's like a little fella in this.
Oh, yeah. But you also find out why he hates Hook.
Yeah.
Why he has a problem with pirates in general, but he really hates Hook. But you find out why in this movie as well.
It makes me want to go back and watch Peter Pan now to see if there's any scenes where TikTok and Tinkerbell are together. And does it seem like they have any kind of prior history?
You probably wouldn't see that, but I mean, it might be there.
I mean, you never know. It might be there, and that's what gave them the idea. You know? I don't know. I'm concerned about the continuity here. I just want to make sure that it fits.
Now, the premise of this particular movie is each of the fairies has a specific talent. Yeah, Tinkerbell is a tinker fairy.
Yes.
Silver Mist is...
You know, the least popular of them, though, was Stinkerbell.
Oh, stop.
Who was a stinker fairy. Nobody really likes them.
Hang on a second. but you know, each of the fairies has a talent. And the fairies that don't really have any one particular talent, they turn into the dust keepers. And yeah, the fairy dust, the gold fairy dust that you have to have to fly.
Right.
Along with a happy thought. Well, that's what they do, is they maintain control of the fairy dust.
Right.
Well, Zarina has figured out that, you know, if gold fairy dust can make you fly, well...
And I think she's introduced in this film, right? Isn't this her first appearance?
I do not think so.
Really? She's been in previous ones? Okay.
But I don't think... She's not been a main character in any of,
gotcha.
Of the others. Okay. This may be her first one. I'm not saying it's not.
Okay.
I'm just saying I cannot say 100% that, yes, she was introduced in this film. But, so she decides that maybe the color has something to do with the powder's enhancements.
Right.
And goes about trying to create different types of fairy dust, even after she's been told over and over again not to touch it, not to mess with it, leave it alone, it's too powerful.
Right.
And she ends up destroying the fairy dust tree.
Yeah.
And ends up being sent away for it.
Right.
Well, when she leaves, of course, she joins up with the pirates. They capture her, and then they realize what she might be able to do for them. And the first time I watched this movie, to start with, I'm going, well, these guys are pretty cool. You know?
Right.
About time we had some pirates that weren't complete dicks.
Yeah.
And then they turned into complete dicks. So.
Right. Yep, yep. But, yeah, and so, yeah, when we first see her when she comes back with the pirates, she appears to be, like,
captain.
Part of the crew. She's the captain. Yep, and Hook is, like, basically her right-hand man.
Right.
I mean, is that how you would describe it?
Right. Hook is her first mate.
Right. Okay, there you go. First mate.
Hook is the first mate, and she is the captain. The reason she is the captain is because she has the secret to the fairy dust and to flying.
Okay.
The ultimate plan is to take the pirate ship, make it fly, bring it back to Earth,
mm-hmm.
and pillage, steal, rob, destroy, maim, hurt, kill. You know, general pirate stuff.
Yeah.
But since they can fly, they will be pretty much beyond the reach of any law enforcement. So, they figure they got it made.
Right.
They do. And as soon as Irina gives up her secrets and tells them how to steer the ship while it's flying and how to navigate, away she goes, locked up in a cage.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I assumed that was going to happen because I knew that Hook was going to, you know, have your villain turn. But yeah, it was kind of sad. One thing that I thought was kind of interesting, they kept this from the old Peter Pan cartoon,
mm-hmm.
is the fact that, of course, the fairies talk to each other. But when she's talking to the humans, all they hear is the little tink, 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 tink.
Did you notice? Things. Hook understood her.
Yeah, but that's like how Peter always seemed to understand her and
right,
stuff.
Right, but
and how Han Solo understands, you know, Chewbacca. Yeah, and
yeah.
Luke understands R2-D2.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it still makes you, it begs the question. Okay, Peter Pan can understand Tinkerbell.
Yes.
Why, how, what is it about Hook that allows him to understand Zarina? So that's a question.
If you're trying to suggest he's got a little fairy in him, I would agree. I got that vibe as well.
Actually,
I wasn't sure how to bring it up, but I'm glad that you did.
No, that is not where I was going. I was going more along the lines of being a lonely, lost, frightened kid.
Okay, well, that's much different than my interpretation.
Yes, I know.
Where we were going with that. But yeah, I kind of thought, you know, hey, he's a little fairy, too. That's why he can understand the fairy language.
Tom, you have to forgive him, honey, if you ever hear this. He's just spouting off. It's fine. So if you ever hear this, honey, it's not all of us. Yeah, my go to my Facebook page. My phone number's on there. I'll give you his contact information.
But mine?
Yes, yours.
Well, you know. You know, if Tom was the fairy that I'm suggesting, he might want my number.
Stop it!
You know?
Of course, I live here too, so by all means.
I know, but that would make you, like, insanely jealous, you know?
I would kill you and bury your body in the backyard.
No, so. You'd be like, you know, I want to hear all the details.
No, I would be sitting at the door recording. What are you talking about? Hear all the details, my ass. I'd have all the details. A few other little things that pop up in this movie is, you remember when you first get introduced to the pirates?
Yes.
And the other fairies are coming to find the fairy dust, which leads them to Zarina and the pirates.
Yeah.
And, James Hook is bringing Zarina her tea.
All right.
And he serves it, quote, Earl Grey hot.
Yes.
This is also the same order that Captain Picard uses in Star Trek Next Generation.
Yes.
So that's just a little interesting thing there. Oh, you also see how the clock got into the crock in this movie.
How did the clock get in the crock? I don't remember that. He swallows it.
Duh. But no, remember it was the cook's clock?
Yes. Okay. We have to be very careful because at some point we're going to say, how did the clock
get into the... We don't
want to
go there. No, 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 no.
Okay. I like how the Disney episode is turning into the raciest one.
Oh my God, I know. Oh, and another interesting fact about this, about Tom.
Yeah.
There's only one, and I thought this was going to be a musical. Most of Disney's animated features are musicals with several songs in them. Unfortunately, this one only had one. However, its saving grace is that it is sung by Tom Hiddleston.
He sounds pretty good.
Oh, he's amazing. He's got a great voice.
Yeah.
He should do more of it. He definitely should.
Mm.
And not just on stage, Tom. We're talking movies, too.
So what did you think of his vocal performance in this? I mean, did you sense that he was giving it the same level of acting that he gives his...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean, you could tell that... And it was really hard to concentrate on the fact that this is Tom Hiddleston.
Right.
When you're watching cartoons.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he did very well. He had the right attitude. He had Hook's attitude from the very get-go. But yeah, I definitely got the feeling that he put as much into this as he would have if it had been him on film instead of the animated version.
Okay. I think it would have been interesting to see him play a young Captain Hook.
That would be amazing. To actually take this and like make it live action. That'd be cool as shit.
Yeah. That would be cool.
That would be very neat. Oh, yeah, there's also one right after he grabs Zarina and throws her in the lantern box.
Yeah.
He comments about how gullible fairies are and how they're, quote, no match for an Eton education such as mine. Which is really funny because this is the only mention of Hook's education.
Right.
And it is also the school, one of the schools that Hiddleston graduated from was Eton.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this is the only mention of Hook schooling in the Disney canon. In any Disney canon. So.
Hmm.
And you mentioned that you thought you saw the guy from Mulan?
Yes.
No, the one that was steering the ship.
Right.
When it begins to fly is one of the bad guys in the tavern scene that sings, you know, I have a dream.
Yes.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, after you told me that, I saw it. But yeah, up until then, I swear there was somebody in Mulan who looked like that too.
There might be. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, they did intentionally use one of the guys from Tangled.
Okay.
So,
I love Tangled. It's a great one.
The first trailer for this movie actually was on a Pixie preview, which means it was on another Pixie movie. And
right.
But it was very, very different. A lightning bolt hits the fairies. They end up on a rock, and all their talents have been switched and jumbled. But we know in this movie...
That sounds like a completely different film.
Nope. Same one.
Would they completely change the plot?
They probably did the trailer before they had the film worked out.
Huh.
It happens. But,
that's weird.
And another thing is, that is James Hook that Hiddleston is playing. However, the name Hook is not mentioned ever in this film.
Well, I know they call him James. They don't call him by his...
They don't call him Hook. They call him James.
Huh. Okay. Well, is Hook his actual last name?
Yes.
Okay.
Although his full name is never heard, the character James is actually James Hook.
Okay.
Now, this is also the first movie to introduce or to reintroduce characters from another Peter Pan film.
Okay.
First Tinkerbell film to feature pre-existing characters from the Peter Pan franchise.
Gotcha.
Besides Tinkerbell herself. And those would be Smee, Captain Hook, and Tick-Tock the Crocodile.
Okay.
Oh, and this is also the first animated Disney production since the death of Hans Conried.
Okay.
To feature someone other than Corey Burton as Hook.
Huh. All right. Now, you know, this kind of makes me think. I think it would be interesting for Tom to play a Disney prince.
Oh, that would be cool.
I mean, you know, in all the Disney films and stuff, I mean, we know apparently now he can sing. So I think it would be interesting to see him actually as a Disney prince.
That really would be cool. Yeah. But actually, he is a Disney prince. He already is.
What, 'cause Loki?
Marvel is owned by Disney.
Yeah.
Loki is a prince in the Marvel Universe. Therefore, Loki is a Disney prince.
There you go. And since he did appear in the, see, I don't know, I was going to make some pirate, you know, fairy joke and Disney queen, but I don't know, it's too much of a stretch.
Didn't want to have to think about it that hard, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, as an animated film, I was pleasantly surprised the first time I watched this. It's, as I was thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to be bored to tears, you know,
right.
I'm not into the whole fairy, I really don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I don't. The only reason I'm watching it is because of who voices James Hook.
Well,
but it's a very interesting film. It keeps your attention. It's not one of these that, you know, you put it on for your 3-year-old and then go to the other room because it's annoying as hell.
Right. Yeah, I thought all the Tinkerbell Pixie movies were pretty interesting. You know, the animation. I'll tell you this. Whenever I see stills from the film, I'm like, that animation looks cheap as hell.
Yeah, but...
But when it's moving on screen, it looks fine.
Well, it's...
So I don't know...
This is computer animation. This is
right.
Not your...
Oh, yeah, it's not hand-drawn or anything, yeah.
Yeah, that went out with Snow White, unfortunately.
But, yeah. But the animation is okay. It's nice. And, yeah, I do think that he... You know, tried to emote as much as possible in the role. I mean, he's not really asked to do a whole lot. You know, he's like excessively nice at the beginning, and then he's like evil. You know, but
that seems to be a running theme with some of his characters.
True.
I
did notice in this film, although he does have both hands, he does have the hook.
Yes.
He just holds it in his fingers.
As a matter of fact, at an hour and 9 minutes, about an hour and 9 minutes and 29 seconds.
Yeah.
You see him coming out of, as a cabin boy, coming out of underneath the boat with the hook.
Right.
Which is, of course, the foreshadowing.
And he does wear the classic outfit.
He does.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. And once again, that is when he actually puts that on, he says... he says, swabble my eyes, which is something that Hook says often in the original Peter Pan.
Huh. Yeah, it's been years since I've seen the original animated
one. It says
one.
The original Peter Pan, but it does not differentiate between book and movie. So it could also be talking about the original manuscript written by... Sir Barry.
Yeah, J.M. Barry.
Yeah, which, again, this is going on the blog, guys. Eventually, I'm going to get my shit together and put it, you know, spell it all out. You know, everybody does 6 degrees of separation. You know, this one was in a movie with that one who's best friends with this one who's, you know, this one's brother. Whatever.
Right.
Yeah, drawing links between Johnny Depp and Tom Hiddleston. There are so many. Where do I start? You've got Paul Bettany, who is in the Marvel Universe as Vision, and as the voice of, the hell is his name? Tony's AI.
Oh, yeah, it was, Jarvis.
Jarvis.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the voice of Jarvis, he's also Vision. He's one of Johnny Depp's best friends.
Yes.
let's see, and then you've got Tom, voicing Captain Hook, to Johnny, playing James Barry in Finding Neverland.
Right.
Then you have Robert Downey Jr., very, very good friend of Depp's, been friends forever. I mean, they were friends back in the day when Robert Downey Jr. couldn't keep a driver's license.
Right.
So, there again, there's another one. There's so many.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is going on the blog eventually.
Yeah.
I only have one picture of the two of them together. No, I'm sorry, two. I have two pictures of the two of them together.
Mm-hmm.
I would like more. If anybody has any images of Johnny and Tom together, I would love to see them.
There was a little thing on the blog kind of Tom-related this week as well. You posted a link to a new
statue
of Loki that's out.
There is a limited edition comic book Loki statue.
Yeah.
So this is not Tom Hiddleston, guys. It's not, you know, don't go expecting the sculpted face and the cheekbones that could cut glass.
No Hiddle bum.
Because you're not going to get it.
Yeah, it's not the Hiddle bum.
No, it is the comic book version. Yeah. It's so cute, though. It's really, really well done. There were only 3,000 made, and there's a link on the blog if you would like to check it out and see what it would take to get yours.
Yeah. And when you go, tell them that
Depp
we sent you.
Tell them that Depheads and Hiddlestoners sent you.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're going to go, who? But that's all right.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, and I'm working with my tattoo artist in Macon, Georgia. So if I get any listeners from or in or around Macon, Georgia, we may be having a tattoo discount for you. Maybe. I'm working on it. If you mention our show. So I'm working with Beyond Taboo Tattoo to see if we can work this out. So keep an ear out.
Okay.
Now, some of the other, a lot of your actors and actresses, you see them here, you see them in a bunch of different places all at once. Well, two of the fairies, two of the women that voice the fairies, let's see if I can, Mae Whitman, who does Tinkerbell.
Okay.
And Christina Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
Zarina. They later go on to star together as sisters on Good Girls.
Okay.
So
I noticed that the theme song, or I guess it's the theme song, it's what they play during the final credits anyway, was by Natasha Bedingfield.
Right, yes.
Who, of course, she had that song Unwritten that was, you know, everybody knows.
Yeah.
But
if you'd have said, you know the song Unwritten, I'd have been like, yeah. Who did that? Who performed it? Who sang it? I'd be like, I can find out.
Yeah, so you know, I love British pop music, and so I was actually a fan of Natasha Bedingfield. I had her album before she ever hit it big in America.
Right.
And her brother was actually a star in the UK first, and then Natasha.
Okay, who was her brother?
I forget his first name. I didn't like his music. I didn't think he had a very good voice. But Natasha had a great voice. And the song that she sings, and this is a good song. I mean, it sounds a lot, you know, like her usual stuff.
Pull it up real quick and see. Well, I've got it right here. Let me see what the featured song is. Who I Am.
Mm-hmm.
And if my computer will quit being a pain in my ass. And that is Natasha Bedingfield.
Yeah.
The name of that song is Who I Am. And
Daniel is her brother.
Okay. But what was really cool about this movie is as
she was actually in a group, I didn't realize this, with Daniel and their sister, Nicola. And so, of course, since you had, anyway, it was DNA. That's what they were called.
That's great!
Yeah. So the group was called the DNA Algorithm.
Nice. Yeah. But yeah, as with all Disney movies, there is an underlying, not really moral, but there's an underlying, feel that they want you to get.
Right.
And Zarina gets kicked out, she runs away, she joins up with the pirates, she steals all the fairy dust, she steals the blue fairy dust, which makes the gold fairy dust.
Yes.
Which also keeps the other fairies from making fairy dust. Is really nasty, switches all their talents, is a real bitch to everybody, and they still help rescue her and bring her back to the fairy island or whatever it is, fairy cove.
Well, I thought it was a little harsh when they kicked her out. Well, I mean, the fairies didn't, of course. But
the thing is
not the girl
fairies. They dismissed her from the job. They didn't kick her out of the community.
Really? I thought he told her to not come back.
He said don't come back to the job.
Okay, all right.
I think it's best that you don't come back. And he meant come back to the tree where they deal with the fairy dust.
Gotcha.
He didn't mean that she was excommunicated or exiled from the community. Not at all. It was
right.
It was on her when she ran away.
Okay.
So, but yeah, she does all kinds of mean and nasty stuff. And then, of course, the other fairies tell her, you know, we didn't just come here for the dust. We came here for you, too.
Yeah.
That was really sweet.
Yeah. You know, I liked her character. I liked the whole redemption arc that she went on, you know.
Well, the thing about it is she really didn't do anything to need redemption from until they told her to leave, you know, that she could no longer work with the dust.
Right.
She was doing what every scientist does, and she got treated the way every early scientist did.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, she was subjecting the fairy dust to experiments, thinking, you know, knowing that there's more ways to use this stuff, but, you know, you don't do that because it hasn't been done.
You know, it almost seemed like, it seemed like almost a religious thing there, like, you know, oh, don't mess with the fairy dust, you know, it's forbidden, blah, blah, blah.
Don't
you know?
It. Why? Because you don't do it.
Right.
Because it's never been done. Well, you know, hey, what did the scientists do?
Yeah.
To get persecuted, locked up, you know, murdered.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that's exactly. But then she goes to the pirates, read the scientists going to the communist country, because they'll allow them to work on their experiments.
Right.
Whereas some other countries, like us, won't.
Exactly.
So that's exactly what Tzarina did.
Right.
She found a place that would give her the space, the time, and the equipment that she needed to work on the fairy dust. And she found, multiple different uses.
Yeah.
She could make animal magic with orange, I think it was. She could make, yeah, she switched the fairy talents with one of them.
Right.
She did. She made pink, purple, orange, green. Nature was the green one. But yeah, she created all kinds of different things that, yes, the fairies have the talents for.
Right.
But what do you do if you're someplace and don't have one of the fairies? Yeah, the fairies that you have with you don't have the talent you need.
Right.
Hey, easy solution.
Yeah.
Fairy dust.
Yeah, and I it was cool when you get to see, like, the pirate ship flying through the air. That was kind of cool.
That was very neat.
Yeah.
Although you do see that one other time, and it was a long, long, long time ago, but you do see it once more. One other time, but it was in live action.
And Hook.
Hook.
Yeah. Yeah, Hook is an underrated film. I like it.
Very much so.
Yeah.
But this actually reminded me quite a bit of Hook.
Right.
And I guess it's probably because you spend so much time on the pirate ship.
Yeah.
And that's probably where, you know, where that comes in. But
right.
I was just waiting for Robin Williams to pop around the corner.
Now, I've always liked the Tinkerbell cartoons, the animated movies, but it never completely felt like the same Tinkerbell from Peter Pan.
Well, it's not. It can't be.
Yeah, because seeing this strong-willed young woman, and then seeing how she is later on, supposedly, in Peter Pan, it, you know, feels weird.
Well, it begs the question, who hurt her?
Yeah.
And we all know the answer to that.
Well, it's Peter.
Well, right.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Tinkerbell, the original Tinkerbell in the original manuscript is not for children. That is why she speaks with a bell tone instead of actual words.
Right.
And why only Peter can understand her is because she has a mouth like a sailor, and she has very low opinions on pretty much any other female besides herself.
Mm.
And that includes Wendy, that includes the fairy, that includes the mermaids, that includes the Indians. She doesn't like any of them.
Yeah.
She's very vocal about it.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, the reason that she doesn't speak is the same reason that R2-D2 doesn't speak. Because
mm-hmm.
they both have potty mouths.
Right. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, and Chewbacca too, I'm sure.
I've never heard that about Chewbacca, actually.
I don't know. I can figure here. I could see, like, sometimes when he's, like,
yeah,
working on the Millennium
canon.
Falcon, I
it's
imagine.
It's canon that R2-D2
yeah.
swears.
Oh, yeah.
Sailor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and Tink, too, so. But, yeah, it's very cool. It's, if you have kids, let them watch it.
Yeah.
I know, if you're like me, you're going, God, no, we're not getting involved in another series. Not happening. No, I don't want to do it. No, it's okay. Trust
me. Well, and this is the only one Tom is in.
Right, this is the only one Tom Hiddleston is in, but yeah, go ahead. It's not as trite and as cringy as you would think.
Yeah,
it's actually a fairly decent film.
So it's looking like this is going to be one of our shorter episodes, which kind of fits. I mean, the movie itself is barely an hour.
Yeah,
it's barely a little over an hour.
However, since it is over like 15, as long as it's more than 15 minutes, it's a feature film. So. That's what's considered a feature-length film.
Really?
Yes.
Anything over 15 minutes?
I don't quote me on that, but there's a certain time.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That it has to, if it's below that, it's a short film.
Okay.
If it's past that, it's considered feature-length.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
This is a feature-length film, but it is only about an hour long.
Yeah. All right. So next week is back to Johnny.
And we're going to continue with the theme.
An animated film?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Now, the thing about Johnny is we have I can think of three. One series.
Okay.
I
can think of two.
One series and two.
I can think of Corpse Bride.
Okay.
And Rango.
Okay.
Is that it? Rango?
Puffins.
Yes, I've never seen Puffins, never heard
Puffins
of Puffins other than...
Puffins is one of the reasons he got the award that he received from...
Right. Sunday. That was the first time I'd ever heard of Puffins.
Oh, I definitely, yeah.
I know nothing about Puffins.
I know about Puffins. I haven't seen it, I have to admit. I have not seen it. Mainly because I can't find it. But, yeah. So, what I want to do is Rango.
Okay.
I love the... If you guys get the chance, go on YouTube, look up some of the filming of Rango. It's hilarious because they don't just stand there in front of a microphone and do the lines.
Right.
Oh, no. No, no, no. They actually, the characters you see on screen are actually taken from the way the actors and actresses move and, express and, the way their arms and legs move, the way their facial expressions,
right.
The way they look, how they turn their head. It's all based on the actors and actresses. So it's not like your regular animated movie where they go ahead and map everything out and then they step up to the microphone and do their lines and it's done.
Right.
So a lot more goes into it. Which, if I'm not mistaken, this film was also done that way.
And that's one reason why I would like to see, Tom as an actual Disney prince, and have it, based upon his appearance and his mannerisms and stuff. I think that'd be really fun.
That would be neat.
Now,
he
Rango is
never,
a...
He would never, ever be able to go to Disney World again and enjoy himself, but, of course, he can't do that now, so...
But, yeah, Rango is a completely different feeling film than
yes.
this one.
Oh, most definitely.
So, yeah.
It is.
Okay.
But, Rango has your basic, animal that's born in captivity, raised in captivity, lives a life of luxury.
Right.
And then gets thrown into the wild. Sink or swim, bitch.
All right. Well, and remember to definitely check out the blog, depheadshiddlestoners.com.
Absolutely.
You're posting stuff a couple times a week?
About a couple times a week, usually. Try to hit it at least twice a week. Sometimes I don't get there, but I don't want to bore people with, like, what is it, the minutiae of my life?
Minutia, whatever.
But it's
a blog.
But yeah. I will be trying to
I think
to
you
post
should have, like, 4 or 5 posts a week.
I will try to post a little bit more regularly, guys. Yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to make sure that it's interesting for y'all too, instead of just, oh hey, you know, let's get this done. I want to make sure it's something you guys might want to hear about too. So we're working on that as well. Keep checking in, keep checking back. We've always got new stuff popping up. We've always got new information.
Yeah, and one of my I think my newest book might be out today. I don't know.
Which one?
The
Straw Man or the Lazarus?
This one is...
Or independent.
So this one is a crossover between Lazarus Gray, my Gravedigger character, and then Night Vale,
who
is published by AC. I wrote a Night Vale novel a couple of years ago, and this one is an opportunity for some of my characters and some of their characters to kind of meet. It's like a digest-sized novel, so it's really like a novella.
And that is,
but,
that's put
it's
out
It's called Worlds
by...
Apart. It's put out by Prose Press.
Prose Press, and it's called Worlds Apart?
Yeah, yeah.
So guys, check it out. Look for it. Worlds Apart by Barry Reese.
That's right. The e-book, the electronic book, is definitely already available.
Okay.
But the print should be...
Basically for your
right
Kindle or your
yes.
phone or stuff like that.
Yep, yep. So you can find out more of that stuff on BarryReese.net.
Absolutely. Check us out. And as always, you know where to find us. DepheadsandHiddlestoners@yahoo.com. Or you can go to the blog and hit contact us.
Yeah. All right, guys. See you next week.
Y'all take it easy.